Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick, I will offer an additional $250 if Christina will kiss Sarah with tongue on stage at the listener party. See, but...
You didn't say tongue before.
I didn't know this is this guy. I'm not saying it. This is Tom who's saying this. Tom, who... he doesn't say where he is, but Tom. I'm not saying it. This is just an email from the guy. It's not going to happen anyway. I'd feel bad. I mean, I can't really... Even with my heart two sizes too small, I would feel bad about... Christina, can you come back to town for the first time in a year? And while you're here, you have to kiss Sarah because we're getting
money to children with cancer. Yeah, you don't feel guilty asking me. You just feel guilty asking Christina.
You'll be drunk anyway. you've already kissed a girl. You kissed Kristen at the last listener party. I will not have this revisionism where you claim that such a thing never happened. We all saw it.
I didn't say it didn't happen.
All right, I'm just saying. There's no photographic evidence. We were all there. We know this guy yesterday. He said, if you can arrange for Sarah and Christina to kiss at the Halloween party, I'll give you $100. And so by the end of yesterday, it was up to like $500 that we were going to give to little cancer kids. But it was just, no. But I'd feel bad. And the thing is...
You should feel bad for asking me. I'm not an object.
It is... Moving on. It's almost assuredly a one-way ticket to hell. That's the thing. It's like if I ever doubted that I was booking myself like a seat in the Pullman berth to Hades... You know, that's right there. I'm not saying you're an object. I'm just saying there's a difference between...
Okay, you said you'd feel bad asking Christina, and I'm going to be drunk anyway. That's not very flattering.
Okay, Christina works for a Christian youth ministry. You work for this show. And are known to, I think, go out and perhaps...
Consume a couple adult beverages.
Engage in a little vice from now and again, you know? It's like you do a little engage in a little sin. Which is fine. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying, there's a difference. I'm not opposed to. I'd feel bad. And here's the thing. For those of you who remember, Christina Carlson, who was the former producer on the show, our producer emeritus, now living in Benjamin, gone for about a year. But if you remember, she was a genuinely good, sweet, girl. It's very, very Christian and whatnot, and as such was not long for this program. It was just like a foregone conclusion she would leave. But here's the thing is. If you remember Christina, if we told her that this was going to little kids with cancer, you know that she would feel genuine moral pangs about it. She would genuinely be torn about whether to do it, and I'd feel bad. Okay, Jack Klugman. I'm going to put it in Google here. Jack Klugman died. All right, we'll see what we got here. Jack Klugman died. Hitting enter. Okay, fetch. Okay, here we go. No, that's not it either. Okay, there's only one result, and that's a false one. All right. Okay, this is from... Okay, here's another one. Tom... Oh, Jack Klugman lives. Rick, according to the Internet Movie Database, I should have known, Jack Klugman is up. He'll be performing the one-man show, An Evening with Jack Klugman, at the Falcon Theater. He can't talk. He doesn't...
What does An Evening of Jack Klugman consist of?
He doesn't have a voice box. He can't speak.
Maybe he can play the drums or something.
He's 82. An Evening with Jack Klugman at the Falcon Theater in Burbank, California, September 12th to October 19th, 2003. It's going on right now. It's going on tonight, as a matter of fact.
Are tickets still available? How much are they?
I don't know. There's no website for Jack Klugman. There's no jackklugman.com, to the best of my knowledge. All right, moving on. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Here's what's ahead this hour. How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Our next two prospective 1080 girls, Jessica and Sarah, will be joining us in the studio today. We've got the latest version of the Tim Riley Factor song, Gene Simmons Took My Girl, with the acoustic guitar. We're going to be laying that down. And then coming up in the third hour of the show, we got today's top five rock and roll movies of all time. You stay tuned. It's all coming up. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oregon's largest wildfire of 2003, the Bear Butte and Booth fires, also known as the B&B complex, was caused by lightning, not just out. The complex of wildfires burned more than 91,000 acres in August and September before being fully contained. One of us, I drove down through that back when I was driving a BMW to Sun River. Back when I was driving, of course, you can't take a bus there.
No.
And miles and miles just burnt trees.
It's just gone. It's like being in the Tillamook Burn, where that's decades ago now, I think. And it's just, you still see where just huge sections of it are taken away. Oh, hey, somebody's up the ante. This is from, I shouldn't say, it's from Steve and Catherine. Rick, we, as a couple, will take an orphan to the zoo if Sarah, Kristen, and Christina do some heavy girl-on-girl action on stage. Come on.
Okay, that's just degrading.
And then they say, what orphan doesn't dream about going to the zoo?
Or joining the circus.
Maybe we'll get to eat today. I'm sorry. Here's a Tim Riley.
Oh, that was a tearjerker, wasn't it?
Came to newsroom.
Taking an orphan to a zoo.
I haven't been able to go since the other leg was taken away.
I will take a skinhead bowling. Well, listen to this. Marijuana smoking damages sperm. Men who smoke marijuana frequently damage their fertility in several different ways. Scientists at Buffalo University found regular smokers had significantly less seminal fluid and lower sperm count. The sperm was also likely to swim too fast too early, leading to burnout before it reaches the egg. Lead researcher Dr. Lindy Berkman said, the bottom line is, active ingredients in marijuana are doing something to sperm. The researchers believe that THC may interrupt the way sperm swim or may block mechanisms designed to weed out malfunctioning sperm.
I don't know. Maybe the sperm are just getting distracted by watching the Home Shopping Network for hours on it. Maybe they're all just stopping at the plaid pantry to buy one of those Big Ed super saucers. Have you seen those? It's like the two giant chocolate chip cookies with the ice cream in the middle. That could be... Furthermore, and I don't think I'm saying anything here that we all don't know, if you're trying to dissuade young men from smoking pot, telling them that it will decrease their chances of getting a girl pregnant is probably not the way to do that. You want to keep kids off of pot, tell them that it'll make them more fertile. Tell them if you smoke a lot of pot that it'll give you super sperm that can defeat even the strongest of birth control devices. That'll get dudes to quit smoking pot. I'm trying to find information, by the way, about the Jack Klugman one-man show. Yeah, I got nothing so far.
Maybe it's magic.
Yeah. The only magic is that he can still breathe without the assistance of a large ventilating machine off to the right, Imus style.
The family of an English missionary who was eaten by Fijian tribes 130 years ago have received an apology. According to local media, residents of the remote village have invited the descendants of the late Reverend Thomas Baker to visit next month. Reverend Baker from the London Missionary Society was killed and cooked by the people of Navasuta in 1867 as he took a comb out of a chief's hair. It is forbidden to touch the head of the chief in Fiji. One villager who took part in the feast was quoted in contemporary accounts as saying, "We ate everything but his boots." One of his boots is on display at the Fiji Museum.
It's funny that they would draw the line at boots, which are made out of actual cow, and therefore, you know, sort of real meat, but you'd eat a guy's ass, and not, I mean, that you wouldn't draw the line at just, you know, eating a guy.
Well, leather is kind of tough to eat.
It's all.
Don't even say it's no ass.
No, I'm just saying there's bits that you think would be all gristly and whatnot, so I guess if he's, you know, what were they, missionaries?
Just one missionary.
Well, he's probably in shape, hiking through the jungle and whatnot. He's probably, you know, he's probably a minimum of tough parts on him. That's not think about it.
Well, cannibalism died out in Fiji in the mid-19th century, with the exception of Christianity and the advent of supermarkets. That's that. The majority of King County residents haven't visited Spokane in the past 5 years and show little interest in sampling the pleasures of the Lilac City. A new survey finds that people in other states and provinces adjacent to the inland northwest flock. What? They're flocking to Spokane.
No one's flocking to Spokane.
For its urban amenities.
No one's flocking. There are no urban amenities. The people there don't even walk upright. There's nothing in Spokane to see.
The city might as well be Timbuktu to denizens of those in the 206 area code. The Spokane Regional Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Imagine having that as your job. Imagine being the guy who has to wake up every day and convince people to come to a place that is... really, in all honesty, just the absolute sphincter of Washington State. I mean, it's like, Kennewick, you can sort of, Kennewick is a terrible place, but Kennewick's also got 25,000 people. There's no way you could reasonably expect it to be a good or decent place. Spokane is the second largest city in Washington State. There's really no excuse for being as terrible and awful and completely repellent and without any redeeming social value as it is.
Well, the Spokane Regional Convention and Visitors Bureau says the findings of a survey are no surprise because they don't do enough advertising in Seattle. They concentrate on small markets that see Spokane as a major urban center,
i.e. Kennewick.
Like or Pullman. I mean, that was the only place we could go to go shopping. They have a Nordstrom there.
Oh, God. Yeah. Imagine being in Pullman and having to go to the big city Spokane.
Yeah, we'd have weekend trips to Spokane. Go to Red Robin.
When I lived in Spokane, we, oddly enough, would go to Pullman because Pullman's where a lot of concerts came to Pullman because they'd play at WSU.
Beasley Coliseum.
Yeah, I saw Metallica there a couple times. We would make the 90-minute drive or something. But no, growing up in Kennewick, I totally saw Spokane as this metropolis, you know? Because Seattle was like a little too scary. It was a little too intimidating to move to Seattle right out of Kennewick, because Kennewick is just like a minuscule town. But Spokane seems sort of manageable, but it also, I mean, when I moved to Spokane, though, it just seemed huge. It just seemed like it was the biggest. There were like all these one-way streets, like these, you know, the big, like towering four-story buildings that I'd think, whoa, look at that building! You know, it was just like looming over me, so I got nothing. We've got this. This is from John. Rick, I will sweeten the pot a little bit. If Sarah agrees to kiss at least one other girl on stage, I will adopt 2 kittens from the Humane Society.
And give them to the orphans.
He said, I will save 2 kittens from the gas chamber and give them a loving home if Sarah kisses another girl. There you go. Orphan to the zoo, $500 to cancer kids, 2 kittens saved from an almost certain death. So there you go. I'm going to put all this in a list somewhere. We're going to get a tote board or something. And we're going to keep a complete and a total tally of all the things that are being offered. Well done.
Well, let's see what's on tonight. The West Wing is a North Korean pianist lips President Bartlett a message saying he wants to defect. Also on tonight, Little House on the Prairie. Mary's eyes cause her problems in school.
Yeah, every Little House on the Prairie is saying either a fire sweeps through the town or somebody gets smallpox. There's only 2 plot lines there.
Say Anything starring John Cusack and Lone Sky. A high school senior falls in love with an honors student bound for studies in England.
Now, in all fairness, Ione is a strange name, and I could see how you might reasonably construe that as being alone.
Oh, I thought it said loan.
It really doesn't. It says Ione. What channel is that on?
That is on FX.
What are they giving? How many stars?
3.
They're fools. It's a 4-star movie. That's a perfect movie. It's flawless. It's one of the great movies of our time. I was just thinking about this. You know, the great thing about Cameron Crowe is Cameron Crowe has, I think, with the exception I guess Vanilla Sky is an exception. I was going to say with the exception of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but you know, Cameron Crowe has perfected the art of making films that are, there is no one on earth that makes movies that are simultaneously so appropriate for men and for chicks at the same time. There's no one else, there's no one that makes better date movies than Cameron Crowe. That Nora Ephron woman that wrote You've Got Mail and all that crap, she can go pound it. She can just go wazz up a rope. She's got nothing. Cameron Crowe is the finest author of date movies in the history of this planet. There is no one who makes finer movies for going on a date, especially on a first date. Then you look at Say Anything. You look at Jerry Maguire. You look at the Almost Famous. I mean, you look at Singles. That's a guy that makes movies that are completely and totally perfect for either gender. You can see them single or you can see them alone. And if you see them with a girl, she's going to think that you're a great guy. You will never, ever go wrong with any one of those 4 Cameron Crowe films. And Say Anything is a perfect movie, and anybody who gives it anything under 4 stars should be taken out front and have their teeth knocked out with a ball-peen hammer.
Beverly Hills Cop is on. Why, this movie's almost 20 years old. Starring Eddie Murphy.
How many stars do they give that?
3.
Yeah. Okay. So apparently everything that's not Ishtar gets 3 stars, I guess.
Now, what else is on tonight? Selena starring Jennifer Lopez.
Wow, let's talk for a minute more about Ione Sky, though, and how beautiful and perfect she is. Is there any woman who's more attractive than Ione Sky in Say Anything? Come on.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's just, you talk about a great cast. It's got Jeremy Piven. It's got Lily Taylor, who is beloved by everyone. It's got his name is escaping me, the guy who plays the dad. I make their lives better! That guy who plays the dad. He's on Frasier now. That's just a great movie. You rent the DVD of Say Anything, and it's got commentary, by the way, by Ione Sky, John Cusack, and Cameron Crowe. It's good stuff. You got to see that.
All right, here's a movie I don't even remember. It's an Ethan Hawke one from 1995 entitled Before Sunrise. What's that?
Oh,
about?
With Julie Delpy?
Yeah.
Or whatever her name is. Before Sunrise is that Richard Linklater movie where Ethan Hawke is like in Paris being pretentious with some blonde girl. Anyway. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley.
With arguably his best work in theaters raking up the cash, Quentin Tarantino is probably happy but not satisfied. I spoke with him about Kill Bill, and he talks about the original idea for the film.
I came up with the idea of doing a revenge movie with Uma. It would be a cool exploitation kind of thing, and she'd play an assassin. But not just an assassin, one of the deadliest women in the world, all right? And she's been screwed over, all right, you know, by a bunch of people. She's treating this plot line straight out of a kung fu movie or a spaghetti western.
Talk about the challenges facing leading actress Uma Thurman.
Uma had to learn everything. She had to learn the fight team stuff. She had to learn how to work on the wires. She had to learn all the wushu stuff. She had to learn her routines. And she had to learn how to handle a samurai sword, do her samurai routines.
Is Uma short for something? Like Uma Tillos?
I don't know. I'd actually never
what
heard
of it. What is wushu?
Actually, that's an interesting point. I wonder if Uma's a made-up name.
No, it's actually her real name.
What kind of name
is she
that?
Named after something?
She was named after like a goddess, some kind of goddess.
Do you know what kind of family she comes from?
They're probably smashing plates in the kitchens now. Quentin talks about the test he gave himself in making this movie.
It was a test of like, well, how good are you? Yeah, you can write funny dialogue, and you can write good stuff, and you can get good performances out of people and everything. But is that as far as it goes? And so the whole idea on Kill Bill was to test the limits of my talent. All right, I wanted to see that as far as I'm concerned, do I have a ceiling? Am I going to hit my head on the ceiling of my talent? And I pushed it the entire way.
All right, there you go. I don't have any. I have no more thoughts on Kill Bill because I haven't seen it yet. I'm so behind. I haven't even seen School of Rock. Oh, by the way, speaking of School of Rock, later on today, today's top five rock and roll films. Of all time. By the way, people are already emailing in their suggestions, and this has become a thing that happens with disturbing regularity, where people sending these emails excoriating me for leaving things off the top five when the top five hasn't even been played yet. Haven't even done it. People emailing me, you dick, you left off, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you this little disclaimer. For our purposes today, we are excluding flat-out concert films. So we're excluding straight concert movies. So don't send me some, you know, no, Depeche Mode, Live at Red Rocks, 1972. It's not, no, we're excluding things that are just straight concert films. It's got to be either a concert film mixed in with whatever other stuff, you know, the substantial amount of other stuff. So, you know, there's no song remains the same, which is a terrible movie in any event, and that comes from a gigantic Zeppelin fan. It's a complete waste of, it's like the world's worst, most expensive home movie. And so we're not, we're, yeah, so it's got, or it's got to be like a movie, like it could be even a fictional movie that is about rock and roll or is a musical. Those are all the criteria. I got to read this. This is an incoming transmission from Aaron, geek in the city. And it says, the subject line of this email is Legless Babies for Sarah. Rick, I, Aaron, king of all geeks, will adopt a legless Bosnian baby if Sarah gives up some girl-on-girl love. If no love, then little Ivan has to scoot along in a wooden wagon all alone. Please, Sarah, help the children.
You know, I don't feel so bad because someone just called and said the Oregon Humane Society doesn't actually kill their animals, so the kittens will live on forever.
Oh, I could threaten to kill one. He says, P.S. F. Matt with a Bosnian stump.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
All right, we got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KTK. Coming up, Jessica and Sarah, our new potential 1080 girls. Also, today's top five. Also, the latest version of Tim Riley took my girl. Of Gene Simmons took my girl away from the Tim Riley Factor. Stay there. We'll be back.
Mornings. Let me show you what I learned out on the road. Let me show you.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Well, we have a couple accidents reported. The first one's blocking the left lane eastbound on the Sunset right after Cornell, causing some delays. Also, another accident southbound I-5 blocking the right lane at Carmen Drive. Other than that, I-5 north is slowing up toward the Interstate Bridge. Eastbound, slow traffic from Murray to 217 out on the Sunset. This report is a service of Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it. Don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800 the number 2 donate or visit taxdeduction.com.
I will donate a car to Heritage for the Blind if I can get you and Christina and Kristen to all make out together. If not, I will hunt down a blind person and I will beat him to death with a stick.
I'm Sarah Dillon. That's your cue.
I wasn't going to go quite that far. I was just going to offer to kill a cat.
On Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 1:27. I'm Tim Riley with you. It's brought to you by Carl Grieve Jewelers. John Cusack plays Nicholas Easter, a juror on a high-profile case who's hiding a secret about the trial in Runaway Jury. John, tell us about working with Gene Hackman and Dustin Hoffman, won't you?
They were two of my heroes growing up in film. You know, I saw the films they did in the 70s and 80s, well, all their whole careers, and thought, you know, one day I'd like to try to do what they do. So the idea of working with them was really exciting, and the script was really good. It was a take on, it was a pretty great thriller, and a take on the courtroom drama that I haven't seen before, which is jury tampering. I've never seen a movie about that.
Ever? Tell us about your character, Nicholas Easter.
Nicholas Easter is a man who's living in New Orleans who gets called for jury duty, and there are forces at work that are trying to interfere with the jury. It's free will. And at first we don't know who Nicholas is. We think he's just a juror. And later on in the film we reveal that all is not what it seems with Mr. Easter.
Can't wait to see it. It starts Friday. Harlem Metro forecast for this afternoon. It'll continue to rain for several more days. I'm Tim Riley of the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com. Made possible by Budget Computer over the $200 laptop.
You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Michael says, Rick, from Canada, where sperm counts are low due to the pot, I'll marry a blind Russian mail-order bride. If you can show proof, by the way, of pictures of Sarah kissing any of the 1080 girls. See, there you go. So it doesn't even have to be Christina. It could be, you know, whoever. You know, I'm sure, you know, it's just sort of an odds game, sort of numbers game.
I thought it had started out with Christina kissing people.
Yeah, but that's probably not going to happen. And that's one of those, you know, the thing is, that's one of those, she's got that husband, you know, and he kind of looks like the unstable type anyway. And he seems like the kind of guy that probably has a gun or two, and he's going to come down here and he's going to kill one of you guys, and you know it's just going to end. It's going to end badly. It's going to turn into some kind of unpleasantness. So we should probably just skip that. I don't know. We'll find out. See, here we go. There's another one. Rick, if Sarah makes out with Chris, see how the listeners have totally taken it out of my hand. See, they've totally taken it and they've run with it. They know that, you know, they know where the bread's buttered here. Rick, if Sarah makes out with any of the 1080 girls, I'm a DJ. I will DJ any party of her choice for absolutely free. Also, F Matt with a goat leg.
This F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
You need never work again. Sarah, you could get like 6 months worth of goods and services piled up here.
What, if free kittens and DJs?
Sort of. It's like a dowry, sort of. We don't have any cattle, but we're doing the best we can here. In just a moment, we'll welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Jessica and Sarah are next to potential 1080 girls. By the way, you can see pictures of Sam, she's up on the website right now. Go to rickemerson.com. It's the most recent weblog entry. It's three pictures of her. We got an email like this one. This is from Mike. The subject line is just, ooh, in all caps. Rick, wow, the new 1080 girl Sam is hot. I have to go clean up now. It's the entirety of the email right there. Attention advertisers, you too can. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend and Portland hip hop artist, The Low. What's up, man?
Hey, first off, if there's going to be some hot action from Sarah, I'll dress up like a ghetto superhero and beat the hell out of crack dealers.
You can. We're doing everything we can. We're giving it the old college try.
Well, I just want to put my hand in there and try to help out a little bit.
All right, excellent. So now we've got $500 to children with cancer. I will give a good home to two kittens. We've got an orphan being taken to the zoo. And Aaron Geek in the city is offered to adopt a legless Bosnian baby. So there you go.
Excellent. And Wushu, just in case you guys are wondering, is kind of like, it's like one of the original names of Kung Fu before it was actually Kung Fu.
Okay.
So So it's just a more or less of a title nature kind of thing. It's not really that big a deal.
All right. Are you all about Uma Thurman as an action hero?
No, not really. I'm not really about Uma Thurman in anything.
I mean she's attractive. I mean, nobody's saying she's ugly. She doesn't really do a whole lot for me though.
Yeah, no, she's. Yeah, there's nothing there.
I'm telling you, I'm not really an Uma fan either, but Kill Bill is a really good movie.
I'm not disputing it's
well,
a good
I'll
movie.
Well, I'll probably. I think I'm going to check that out this weekend because it looks like it should be pretty entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go see it. She's very attractive. I mean, she looked good in the Pulp Fiction especially, but I just, it's like, you know, some guys just have a real fetish for her though, and I'm just not one of those guys.
I don't see it either. And just real quick, I was going to spare Matt as far as that song goes, and it was actually going to be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole lunch thing earlier, with the you not getting any food and them kind of just sitting back and stuffing their fat faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, it became mandatory at that point.
It's okay. It became personal.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, at this point I've developed a thick skin. I realize that I'm always going to get the fuzzy end of the lollipop around here because it's just kind of the way it's kind of the way my life goes. But
it's all right, man. I got your back. Don't worry.
All right, excellent. There's the low. You'll see him at the listener party, which is coming up 2 weeks from this Thursday. Thursday, October 30th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the New Phoenix Last Frontier Casino in La Center, Washington. In attendance going to be the low, Richard Nunn from the Fox 12 Storm Center, former producer Christina Carlson, all the cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show, former 1080 Girls, Michael's going to be there, Dean is going to be there, our new 1080 Girls, Sam is going to be there, and now let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our next two potential new 1080 Girls, Jessica and Sarah. How are you? We get the middle and far right mics? All right. Jessica, Sarah? Oh,
hey.
We got nothing there. We've got one, but not the other.
Who don't we have?
I don't know. Hi. Okay, we do not.
Okay, because we're not actually on the middle mic.
Oh, sorry, that's my fault. That's
rolled all the way off to
my
the wrong
fault.
Mic
we'll
there.
Switch mics there.
Oh, we tried that.
All right.
Is that better?
All right, yeah, there we go.
Oh, hello, Jessica.
Hello, Sarah.
yes, they're cousins. Not identical cousins, but one does what one can. Now, some of you may remember, you may have met Jessica and or Sarah at Billy Reed's. They were, of course, taking up residence on the patio outside. As is appropriate, because Jessica, it's right now, you just turned 20, and so you were the girl in the macrame top, that was outside that many people made an observation about. I know that our good friend Big Gay Sarah had many flattering and pleasing things to say about you. And Sarah, you were the girl in the F Me I'm Famous shirt.
Yes.
That we talked to at the end. And so you guys were both there with Jessica's mom?
Yeah.
Who I think at one point also approached us about being a 1080 girl. So it's an entirely family affair with you guys. It's kind of a different life you lead out there in Skampoose, isn't it?
Yeah, well, she's the one that told us about the show to begin with.
Ah, see, that's, come on. I mean, that's devotion. That's loyalty is what that is.
Isn't that what family's all about? You gotta help each other out.
That's what I'm saying. See, I try to explain this to people and they tell me these things about, you know, immoral and gene pool and, you know, spreading out the chromosomes. And those people are fools. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. So you guys talked to us both at Billy Reed's, and then you both emailed me individually because you wanted to be 1080 girls. And I think initially, Matt, I think you and I almost immediately give that a strong thumbs up.
Well, yeah, we tend not to like to deny, you know, young women their desires. So.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. We'll just kind of we don't have a webcam or anything, and people always complain that we don't give enough descriptions. So we'll just kind of describe. So we'll start with Sarah. So Sarah, you are. Can I ask how tall you are?
I am
5'10" ish. Okay, 5'10". So you're pretty tall.
And then I usually wear shoes with you.
All right, 5'10". So you're kind of a towering woman. We got you.
You could say that. Yeah.
All right. So you're 5'10", it's not spiky or anything, but you got short black hair, kind of rock chick.
It's that
hair.
Kind of indie emo girl look.
Yeah.
No, I'm not really an emo girl.
Yeah. No, you look like a girl who might carry a knife on her at some point.
If I had a knife, I'd probably carry it with me.
Yeah. Yeah, you look like the kind of girl that might be dangerous under the right or wrong circumstances, depending on how you view it.
Sure, I'll go with that.
And then I think Matt, you're wearing a fairly tight fitting shirt, and I think Matt and I would be in agreement that you've got a great body. So we're big fans of that. So you've got a green shirt on and just jeans. Is that what that is? Or?
It's a little mini skirt.
Yeah, and a mini skirt. So that's the way to get on our good side here. All right. So and Jessica you are how tall?
About 5'6".
Okay, about 5'6", and you've got long brown hair. Now, this here and also at Billy Reed, you had it in sort of a braid. But I think speaking for all men, I think men are opposed to the braid. Here's, I think, something that goes well with men. Pigtails, go well with men. Occasionally the ponytail, but that's only like if it's a Saturday and you've got a baseball cap.
Yeah, you gotta have the baseball cap to really pull off the ponytail.
And the ponytail's kinda coming out the back. Otherwise, guys are all about having the, it's like, I know, and I don't know if you know this, but I know girls that are like this, that they spend a lot of time getting their really long hair, and every time you see them, they get it like put up on top of their head, and they got it fixed up there. It's just, it seems like a waste. So, you got very nice hair. Also, you've got a great body. You're very attractive.
She's
so,
wearing a bustier, too.
Alright, is that, I don't like the leer.
I went and got tea at the wrong time because they like snuck past me in the hall. I didn't get a.
See, I never know what anything means. I don't know if it's like bustier or like what's a merry. I don't even know what a merry widow is. You hear people talk about. No, I'm wearing a merry widow, but I have no idea what that even is. It sounds like a drink or something.
The merry widow is the thing that has the bra and then it's like a little skirt attached, uh-huh. And then like it usually has garters or something.
Okay, see, that's
Isn't it a bustier and a garter belt combined?
Oh, yeah. Shut up! You're not supposed to know that sort of a thing. That's knowledge you're not supposed to have.
When I was young, got the Victoria's Secret catalog. What can I say?
Yeah, but you're not. Okay. I think a lot of guys get the Victoria's Secret catalog. I don't sit and, you know, memorize color combinations and, you know, fastener styles out of it or something. That's crossing a line that I'm not altogether comfortable with. All right. I'm just saying. All right. Now, we never got to this yesterday. We were going to sort of put together a 1080 girl questionnaire to ask you, just to get a sense of your personality type. And we were never able to put the question together yesterday. We didn't get a chance to work on the question. So what we're going to do instead is we're going to have you stick around for the How Chicks Think segment with Jolie from the front desk. And we'll have you weigh in on How Chicks Think. We'll get a couple digital photographs later on. I'll stick stuff up on the website. And then we'll move forward from there. So, what we're going to do now, we're running behind here. So what we're going to do now is we're going to break. We're going to come back with Jolie from the front desk, How Chicks Think, with Jessica and Sarah. I do want to play this. This is, the latest iteration of the new Tim Riley Factor song. This is, Gene Simmons Took My Girl Away. We played the, demo version. Then you heard us building it track by track. We laid down the drums, then we laid down the bass line. This is now the latest version. This is the acoustic guitar laid over the top. All we have to do now is add the electric guitar and the vocals and Sarah's solo, and we'll be done. But this is the latest version, version 3 of Gene Simmons Took My Girl Away by the Tim Riley Factor. Stay there. We'll be back with Jolie from the front desk and more with Jessica and Sarah. Stay there. So Rick Emerson, Show on Hot Talk, Identity, KF2K.
Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, please tell the lovely Sarah that while the Humane Society does not kill animals, the evil and wholly large Portland Animal Control does kill kittens. Meow, meow. Sarah, only you can stop kitten killing. That's what I'm saying. All right. We've also got this. This is from John. Dude. I will dedicate my life to Christ if the chicks make out also. Plus, I will donate $1.39 to the cause. So there you go. We're at $501.39. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. I think she's ignoring you.
I'm just saying. All right, coming up later on in the third hour of the show, we got today's top five. Rock and roll movies of all time. We're here with Jessica and Sarah, who are our new potential 1080 girls who we've been talking to. All right, so we got a couple emails we're going to get to here before we bring on Jolie for How Chicks Think. We've got Dave. Dave wants to know about the new 1080 girls, Jessica and Sarah. Did you say they are cousins? That's right. You guys are cousins, right?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Cousins and any tattoos or piercings?
Oh, Sarah would be the one to look for that. that?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of tattoos, actually. I've got two big tribal pieces on my left calf, and then a dragon and another tribal on my right calf. I've got two stars on my shoulders. I've got two cherries on my hips, and then I've got another tribal tattoo on my back.
And now cherries on your hips.
Yeah.
Which first of all sounds like some sort of a song title that I need to be writing down for future use by the Tim Riley Factor. But what was the input? Does that mean something? Or should I just draw my own conclusions from that?
Everybody always asks if they mean something, and really they mean just about as much as the rest of my tattoos mean, which is not a whole
lot. Just sort of decorative.
Yeah, I saw a poster of a girl about 3 years ago, and she had little cherries tattooed on her hips, and I saw it and went, oh my God, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I think I speak for all of us here when I say that we're strongly in favor of such things. Do you have any piercings?
My ears are pierced twice, but that's it.
All right, you don't have any unusual or exotic piercings.
No, I'm not big on the piercings. I like tattoos.
All right, yeah. See, I'm not with that. I don't piercings. I can get with a nose piercing or the navel piercing. Anything other than that's just kind of freaky. You know what I mean? Jessica, any tattoos or piercings?
No, I'm kind of a wuss for pain.
All right, so you got the all American girl look going on. You just sort of an unmolested look. That sort of speak. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that it doesn't tamper with the original equipment. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Hey, by the way, isn't Weapon Master Ian getting a tattoo? Somebody told me. I don't know if this is right, true or not. Somebody told me that Weapon Master Ian has a bet going on the Cubs Marlins thing, and that if the Cubs lose, that because he is like a lifelong Cubs fan. Somebody told me, I may have this wrong, that if the Cubs lose, he has to get a Marlins tattoo on his leg. Does anybody know if I'm right about
that? Please, please tell me he did not agree to that.
I think it's true, though. All right, we'll get him. Well, we'll find out later.
No, it is.
Okay,
it
is true.
He's going to have to get the Marlins logo tattooed on his, I think, like on his arm.
If the Cubs lose, and that's when? Is that tonight?
Mm-hmm.
All right, excellent. All right,
big game tonight.
We'll keep you up to speed on that. All right.
Yeah, so go Cubs.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Jolie from the front desk, along here with Jessica and Sarah, our new potential 1080 girls. How are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Jolie, do you have any unusual tattoos or piercings you'd like to tell us about?
No, no comment.
You don't feel like you want to. Jolie, what are the odds of you making out with another girl if we offer to give money to cancer patients at the listener party?
You know, I do my volunteering, so.
You gave at the office.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, we got this. It comes to us from Anonymous, and the subject line is "Help Jolie, how chicks think." My husband and I have been married for 2 months now. We were very sexually active before we were married. Now that we're married, how do I take control of things so he'll stop bugging me every night for sex? It's like it's all he ever thinks about. Sign me anonymous.
Well, you know, she's not the only woman that has that problem. I know it happens a lot because they're men.
A friend of yours named Julie?
No. God.
I'm just asking.
No, it happens a lot, and men are men, so they always think about sex. But I have a lot of ideas for her. So we'll start with the first one.
Quit bathing.
Well, okay, that was part of it, but not my first one. You know, grow out your armpit hair, your legs. You know, don't shave.
I was just kidding, because these answers are all retarded.
They are not, Rick, because they'll work. Okay, the first thing is that...
Apparently, your ploy of having sex with him and while you were dating worked too. You know, because now you're married and, you know, he doesn't.
Well, everybody knows that, you know, once you get married, you know, hummers quit and, you know, the sex doesn't happen as often.
You know, it's almost hard to believe that I've resisted marriage for 30 years. It's real puzzling, isn't it?
Well, the answer is you've only been married 2 months. Why the hell don't you still want to have sex with your husband all the time?
Wait a minute now, because she's wore herself out, okay?
Would have wore herself
two
out.
Months?
She needs to start initiating sex like once or twice or however many times she wants to have it. And then, you know, he won't be always wanting
to
have sex.
She needs to wean him off the lovin' is what she's saying.
The other thing is she needs to kind of, like, when she gets home from work, prepare him for her...
Another night of rejection?
She needs to prepare him
for another crushing blow to his ego?
She needs to make up the couch for him so he knows where he's sleeping and not getting
it. Why don't you go home and kick him in the sack as soon as you walk in the door? Just walk in the door and just kick him in the nuts
as soon as
you come in. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but okay. You're not going to let me get out all my ideas, so I'm going to do this good one. Okay, I saw it on Dr. Phil.
Uh-huh.
And there's a medical condition very serious that makes sex
being
extremely
ass.
Unbearable. So she needs to start complaining when they're having sex that it's hurting and maybe cry a little bit.
Stop.
Go to the
doctor. Needs to lie to him.
You have fully like entered into weird psychotherapy territory.
Hey,
now.
No. She'll go to the doctor. And
you have to go to timeout for 30 seconds.
No, I don't.
We're going to ask the 1080 girls. Let's talk to Sarah first. Sarah?
I just don't understand why she doesn't want to sleep with him anymore. Why did she marry him in the first place?
Can we get a little love? That's what I'm saying right there. That's a sound woman.
A wife's job is to sleep with her husband. That's part of the job description.
Could you be any more perfect? Be better?
Even if you don't want to all the time, sometimes you just have to.
Exactly. We have a winner. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. All right, there you go. And Jessica?
Well, it sounds like she needs to refuel her sex drive just a little bit by, you know, maybe taking a vacation to her mother's house for a week to 10 days, and then she'll come back and she'll want to sleep with her husband.
These are all logical, rational suggestions. These are all suggestions that come from a place of reason and intellect, not the nonsensical natterings of a shrill, unlikable harpy.
Oh, God, you're so rude.
Only the
no
most
wonder nobody
tenuous
likes you.
Connection to reality. All right, continue on with your advice. Now that we've, you know.
Okay. I was going to say she needs to pretend that she's asleep, like when she gets home from work. Kind of say, I'm so
asleep.
Tired, I don't feel good. She needs to go to bed before he does. And, you know, or else just whenever he's about ready to ask her for sex, then she just brings up his mother. Or baseball.
Maybe just, you know.
It'll get him out of the mood, I think.
Yeah, you could also start just calling him another guy's name during sex. That might help you, or, you know.
Oh, yeah, Rick, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, okay. All right.
That's the number
maybe
one.
Maybe just
probably.
Hit him in the face with a hammer a few times every time he starts putting the moves on. In just a few here, we'll welcome Kristen from accounting. Let's talk to John. He's a full-time listener in Lake Oswego. You're on Hot Talk at 80K2K. What's up?
Christ almighty, she cannot be serious. This guy needs to invoke his 90-day money-back guarantee. If after 60 days he's getting cut off, it's time to hasta la vista, baby.
It's like rolling that Impala back to the dealership because the transmission fell out of it.
There
or
is a lemon law for this crap.
Seriously.
You know, if she's not dishing it out after 60 days, I could see 60 months or maybe 60 years, but not 60 days.
Well, and it's one thing when you're, you know, 50 years old and you've had to shove 4 kids out of there and, you know, you just don't really feel it. You're no longer in the mood and your wife starts to look like Ernest Borgnine. These are all things that maybe, you know, would contribute to this. But after 60 days, it does seem a little rash.
No, he needs to get his money back.
Yeah, I'm with
he
you.
He got hosed.
Maybe she is old. Maybe
she's
they are old.
What, like he married B. Arthur? What are you talking
well,
about?
Well, could
all right,
be.
We'll be back. We got more with Jolie from the front desk, Kristen from accounting, Rob from the house, Rick, and our new 1080 girls, Jessica and Sarah. Stay there. We'll be back. It's Hot Talk 1080 Care to Care.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 201 Tim Riley with news, brought to you by the Winterhawks. The fun is on at Hattrick Thursday with your Winterhawks. Be at Memorial Coliseum this Thursday when Portland battles Everett. Hot dogs, sodas, and fun, just $2 each. Tickets start at $10 through Ticketmaster or Winterhawks.com. The NTSB investigating the helicopter crash that killed 2 men yesterday. Richard Black, the pilot, he was 57. Lone passenger, 53-year-old David McKay. They were scouting water holes when the chopper got tangled up in some power lines in Swiss Home. More than 550,000 Oregon and Southwest Washington Comcast cable customers will see HDTV this week. It marks Oregon's first widespread deployment of the technology. HDTV is said to deliver crisper pictures, sharper sight. Well, you've heard it all. A major project being discussed by the Corvallis Planning Commission this evening. OSU will request an 8,300-seat expansion to Research Stadium, plus construction of a 988-parking-space garage. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Rain decreasing later on, then picking up after midnight, then coming back tomorrow and breezy. Tim Riley, KOTK News.